The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen. Amen. Glory to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for a perfect song. What a perfect song. Give God the praise. Give him the honor and the glory that's due to him. My heart is on fire right now. Filled with the Spirit of God. We don't have no reason to hold our head down. God is up there. He's looking down on us. He's enjoying this. After having a good invitation like this, I would just say, take up an offering and let's just go home. But the word of God must go on. I want to thank Pastor King for allowing me to stand in the saddle, or ride in the saddle, the end of a year. I want to thank him for just calling my name. I want to thank all of you for being here this day. Because this is a day that God has given us. And he said, rejoice and be glad in it. We got any rejoices in here today? Anybody want to praise God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a God that will never fail. He's a God that you can depend on. Day and night. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh God, thou God, how excellent is your name. Father God, we come today, Lord, just to make mention of your name. Father God, we come to lift you up because you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father God, we come just to praise you. We come to have a good time in your house, Lord God. Father God, we come to show you that we truly love you today. Father God, we just want to say thank you for your son, Jesus, who did it all. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I come to you today, coming from the Old Testament, and we're just going to read a verse of scripture there. You can stay right there. We're coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're going to read one scripture. Coming from 1 Samuel, the 11th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 11th chapter. Those of you that can stand, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say wait. The reading of 1 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1. And then the Bible says that then Nahash, the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. You may be seated. If we had to choose a topic for today, it would be, don't worry, help is on the way. Don't worry, help is on the way. I know that may sound a little bit strange, but we done went through so much. We need to know that we got help. We need to know that there's someone we can talk to that will hear us in the midnight hours. Don't worry, help is on the way. Let me tell you, when God sanctions your position, he will allow the proper circumstances to arrive that will validate your leadership. You don't have to worry in the body of Christ. Every joint is supplied by the Holy Spirit. Every person that is in the body of Christ, God will validate your position. Now don't get upset. Everybody can't be the head. Somebody got to be the last joint on the little finger. Somebody got to be the toenail. But as long as you are a child of God in the body of God, you can rejoice. You can rejoice being in the body of the Lord. Rejoice knowing I'm in the body. There anybody in here that's glad that they're in the body of Christ? In the body. So after Saul had been anointed and he went home to his little town in Gibeah, and the critics was saying, how can this man save us? How can he save us? The 11th chapter starts with a man named Nahash. Nahash the Ammonite, he decided now that Israel has become a monarchy, they don't know nothing about having a king. He hadn't had time to raise up an army. So he decided to take his troop down to the little place called Jabesh-Gilead and surround that little town. And when the men of Jabesh-Gilead looked out, they said, we can't do anything with Nahash and his army. So he said, the best thing for us to do is just surrender. And not even put up a fight. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how the devil threaten you. I'll tell you that you never give up without a fight. If you want to take your kids, take your children from you. Kids on drugs. Spouse staying out half the night. Don't just say that's just the way it is. Don't give up without a fight. I don't care how big your army might be. I don't care what you got against me. I won't give up without a fight. The Bible said that God is talking to people right now. And don't forget who God is. God said, I am your God. All through the Old Testament, he was telling them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, but go ahead and do everything I tell you to do. I tell you that I will not surrender to the forces of evil. The men surrendered and said, Nahash, the only way that I will sign a treaty with you. This is Nahash talking. He said, I won't sign a treaty with you unless you line up all your young men and let me pluck out their right eye. The Bible said, he said this, not to make fun of them, but to bring a reproach against them. Because everybody knew that three times a year, these peoples went into Shiloh to make worship to God. So when they saw these children coming in with their eye plucked out, they was just, yeah, this is the one that Nahash plucked out their right eye. So the Bible said these men didn't know what to do. And it goes on to say the children of everybody knew that the children of Israel had a meeting with God three times a year. The place ended up being Jerusalem. But it was called Shiloh. That's where Hannah and her husband Elkanah would go and worship God. And then it says that they would appear before God in Shiloh. But I wondered how it got the name of Jerusalem or why they didn't go there anymore. But you see, Eli had two sons. One was named Hophni and the other was named Phinehas. And they was priests, but they was not holy to God. So they got into a fight with the Philistines. And the Philistines, they took the Ark of Covenant. And there was no reason to go down to Shiloh anymore because the Ark of God had been taken away. And I tell you that this is what you mean when you think about when people don't go to church anymore because the ark has been stolen and there's no reason to go down to that church anymore because it's the worst thing in the world to go down to a place and when you don't have God there. The thing about it is the Bible said that this ark, it represented God. And it represented the presence of God. You know, it was a little box about 2 inches wide, 2 feet long. And in it was manna, Aaron's rod that budded every year. The Ten Commandments was in there. And the mercy seat covered with gold. And also in there was the cherubim angels that faced one another to protect the Ark of the Covenant. And God said when Moses would go in to pray, the smoke would come up when Moses prayed. That was the presence of God letting Moses know that it was right there with him. As long as the Ark was in Shiloh, I want to tell you that the reason why these people had stopped going to Shiloh because the presence of God was not there anymore. So I tell you what the Bible is saying here is that if you are going to somewhere where there's dead church, you need to get out of there and find you something where God is. When God shows up, smoke will show up. God wants his people to come into his house with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Anybody want to praise God today in the house of God? This is God's house. And then it said, but the men of Jabesh Gilead said, they said, you know, Nahash, we don't even want to fight, but if you'll give us 7 days, give us 7 days to go down and see, can we find some brothers to help us out. And the Bible said that then they went back down and they said, Nahash said, all right, you can have 7 days. But he didn't know what he was saying, because God, he created the earth in 6 days. And on that 7 day, God did rest. Now the Bible said that Nahash laughed at the men, because he knew that they couldn't find nobody to represent them or defend for them. And he said that, go ahead, you can have 7 days. But when you get back here, if you ain't got somebody to protect you, I tell you, I'm going to pluck those guys' eyes out. So I tell you that the men went down to a little place where Saul was. By meantime, Saul was in the field plying with his herd. And the Bible said that the men was crying and weeping in town about what was going to happen. And so then Saul come up out of the field. And when Saul got into the town, the people were weeping and wailing and moaning. And Saul said, what's wrong? What's going on here? And the Bible said that the men down at Jabesh Gilead, they sent their emissaries. And the emissaries told them what Saul said that he was going to do. Saul said if he couldn't find no help, this is what's going to happen to these men. So Bible said when Saul heard this news, the Bible said that Saul got angry. And when all Saul got angry, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, he took two yokes of oxen and he cut them up into pieces and he sent them all over the land. And he said, if you don't come out to me and Samuel to fight against the Ammonite, this is the same thing gonna happen to your oxen. Do you know that same day when they got that word, they showed up the next morning, 35,000 of the children of Israel showed up. 30,000 of the children of Judah showed up. I want to tell you that when God calls you to do a certain test, you got to do it no matter what it is. I said that Saul heard, and then it said we ought to get angry. We ought to get angry at the things that are happening right in our city, turning them into a drug and den, infested den. And we ought to get angry when the devil is trying to steal everything that we have. The devil shouldn't be whipping us. We should be whipping him. The Bible said that you got power. You got power to tread over serpent, to tread over scorpion. We don't know what power we have, but if we just open up our heart and let God in, then we can use that power that God give us. God gave us power to fight over the devil. He gave us power to fight over the enemy. God give us power. Power, power, nothing but power. We should get angry. We should get angry when the devil is working with our kids. When young men are running around here killing themselves. We ought to get angry. As children of God, we stand for what is right. When God tells us to stand up, we shouldn't be sitting down on God. When we should be about our Father's business. He said we should lay hands on the sick. We should raise up the dead. And nothing shall come against us. We should get angry. And you ought to tell the devil, look, devil, I had enough. I ain't gonna take no more. get away from me. Get under my feet where you belong. The devil ought to be draw the line and dare you to cross it. The Bible says that we have everything we need, every tool that we need in this lifetime. Anyone, I want to tell you, I draw the line. And then it said, we ought to get angry. Do you know what you have in the Lord? You have everything that you need. And the Bible says that we ought to get angry. I'm used to the Holy Ghost making you happy. But have your Holy Spirit ever made you angry? Have you ever got angry at the things that are happening in life? Have you got angry with bill collectors calling you all time of the night? Have you got angry with doing everything that you can, but it still didn't turn out right? Saul sent word to the men down in Jabez Gilead. He said, you don't have to worry about nothing Nahash said. He said, all you got to do is hold on until in the morning by the time the sun get hot. He said, don't worry about old Nahash. Nahash ain't got nothing on my God. His men was glad to hear the news until tomorrow about the time the sun get hot. Other word, at noontime. The Bible says that's when you can hold on. If you can hold on, I don't care what the enemy has threatened to do to you. He may be like the big bad wolf saying, I'm going to blow huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. You don't have to worry about what the enemy said. You don't have to worry about trying to hide up under your bed or don't answer your phone, because God is your help. God will make a way out of no way. Grandma used to say, if you're hungry, set the table, because God gonna make a way somehow. You hear what I'm saying? If he's a way maker, God is a way maker. He can make a way out of no way. When it's dark, God is sunshine in your life. God will make a way. Just hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm reminded, and I ain't gonna be too long. I know you're getting tired of me, but I got to tell you, hold on. God is on his way. I want to tell you about a little story about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, he got this threatening letter from King Sennacherib. King Sennacherib was threatening to come in and take all the gold, take all the things from the house of God. That same day, King Hezekiah, he went into the temple. He laid the letter upon the altar. And he told God, he said, God, in other words, this is your mail. I can't handle Sennacherib and his army. You hear me? I can't do nothing with him. I know I can't handle Sennacherib and his army. The Bible said the same night when God received that letter, said he got one angel. He got one angel. He didn't bother to get Michael. He didn't bother to get Gabriel. He simply looked in the corner and said, "Hey, you, go." One angel got that message. He went down into that Assyrian camp. And by the time he got through flapping his wing, 185,000 soldiers were dead. Don't worry. God will. He'll make a way somehow. You ain't got to fight your battle, because the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. All you got to do is pray and tell God all about what's going on. God will take away somehow. You know, God is your help. He can use anybody he please. You looking for help in the West, and God sending help to from the East. God can use anybody he choose. God will take care of you. God is your help. He can use whoever he wants to. If you're God's child, you belong to him. You ain't got to worry about where your help is coming from, because help is coming from somewhere, mama. Help is coming from somewhere. You ain't got to worry. And then I say to you, you are his child. Help is coming from somewhere. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. I feel my help right now. Do you feel your help? Do you feel like God is helping you? Do you feel like running this race a little while longer? Do you want to go on to the end and see what it's going to be? I'm telling you, I feel help. I feel God in the house. I know you think sometime nobody cared nothing about you. You're in this all by yourself. Financial situations piling up. Bills are piling up. And you can't see your way out. It's time to put up the credit cards. Let them take a rest. But I want to tell you something. You ain't got to go at it alone, because God is your help. God will come in the midnight hour. God will always come in the middle of the day. God will come when you don't think he's coming. We don't want to give up on God. I know you're thinking nobody cares, that even God himself had done you wrong. You're there weeping in the midnight hour, but he knows what you're going through. You're walking the floor at night because you don't want to wake anybody or to be aroused by your sobbing. The Bible said that, hey, God is your help. He sees you there in the bathroom at night, wiping your eyes, moaning and crying, feeling that nobody care about you, nobody care about your plight. But I want you to know that you can be like David. When David thought nobody cared about him, David looked in the north. The war clouds was in the north. He looked down in the south, and the enemy was there. He looked down in the city gate. His own son Absalom was there trying to make a rebellion against him. David said in his word that I won't look to the north or to the south, east or west, but I will look to the hill which cometh my help. All of my help come from the Lord. All of my help come from Jehovah Jireh. All of my help come from the two hands. All of my help come from the Lord. What I would do, I want to look to the north. God, my help come from the Lord. I feel that God is trying to sell someone something today. I feel like something going on. You don't want nobody to know, but you got to give it up. You got to tell God all about it. The only way you can get out of what you're in is tell God about what's going on in your life. God is trying to tell somebody right now. You've been coming to church. You've been having a good time. You've been dancing. You've been talking in tongue. But time you get home, the enemy come upon you and try to get you into a pity party. And I'm here to tell you, don't allow the enemy to come upon you. But let me tell you, stop feeling sorry for yourself. God is your help. Help, he's helped you when you're in trouble. He's not your help when you're out of trouble. But he your help in trouble. Go on to praise the Lord. You ought to tell somebody that, look here, I'm going to praise the Lord with everything I got. I'm going to put on my dancing shoes, and I'm going to do the Shabbat to God. I'm going to do like David done. David got out there, and he danced, and he danced, he danced, and he danced until he was out of his clothes. Why don't somebody give God some praise today? Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up and tell God, thank you, Lord, for another day, another journey. Get up and tell God, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. And then I said, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Hey! I am gonna treat everybody right. I'm gonna treat everybody. Yeah! Set.
I will trust in. I will trust in the Lord until I die. Oh. Tell somebody, turn somebody, tell your neighbor, I'm going to stay on the battlefield. You encourage somebody. I am stay on the battlefield until I die. I'm going. Oh, yeah. As I sat, as I sat.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.